Welcome to Unity Presbyterian Church Online. This week in worship, Pastor David begins a series for Lent on the 40 days of promise, the promises that God made to Abraham. Let's listen.
Well, I'm grateful to be here today on this first Sunday in the season of Lent. We will be studying the promises that God has made to Abram, later Abraham and his family, and what those promises still mean for us today. I want you to begin your time thinking about when you had to explore something, whether that was a new city that you explored, or a new country, or maybe just going down to Charlotte in rush hour. You were exploring a whole new world. For me, I can think of a time when I went to New York City to visit my younger brother. I mean, New York is a different sort of city than really I had ever been to before. There's miles and miles of skyscrapers. There's people everywhere. Everything is crowded. Every restaurant, you're walking down the street and there's people all around you. Well, I went once by myself because my brother was debuting a play. He writes musicals. And I said, I want to support you. I want to see that play. And so I flew in to JFK and said, how do I get to you? And he said, oh, that's fine. It's fine. It's very simple. Famous last words. He said, buy a bus ticket from the airport and then take the bus to the subway station. And when you get to the subway station, find the A line, take the A line to a certain stop, transfer, get onto the C line, take the C line to a certain stop, get off, walk 6 blocks, and I'll meet you at the theater. At first, I was a little bit stressed by that because it's a big city. I had not been really alone in New York City before. But then I thought to myself, I can view this as a time of exploration. What if I viewed this as I'm going to be an explorer and let's just see what happens? There's a sense of adventure when you look at the world like that. And so I decided I'm going to explore this new area, and everything went well at first. I flew into JFK, my bags followed me. I bought my bus ticket and got on to the right bus. We pulled into the subway station, but then something different happened. A police officer walked onto the bus and said, I'd like to see everyone's tickets, please. Well, I thought, that's fine. I paid for my ticket. So I whipped out my ticket and gave it to him. And he said, he looks at it and goes, I'd like to see you outside, please. I'm thinking, I'm not quite sure what's happening here, but okay. I'm exploring. That's fine. It's part of the adventure. And he looks at me and goes, so where are you from? I said, well, I'm from Charlotte. He goes, oh, that's great. I don't know how it works in Charlotte, but in New York City, we need to pay for your bus tickets before you get on the bus. I thought, did I hand him the wrong ticket or the wrong receipt? I mean, I had a lot of different papers in my pocket, and I looked, and sure enough, I'd handed him a receipt for like a boarding pass or something like that. So I did one of these really quick, felt the ticket, whipped it out, and gave it to him. He had that kind of wry smile, and he goes, well, welcome to New York. And he let me go. That was just part of the adventure, part of the fun. I eventually made it there, found my brother. But when have you had a time when you needed to explore something new? Today, in the series we are beginning, I want you to view yourself as explorers of the Old Testament. That is where Abram's story comes from. It starts in Genesis, the first book in the Bible, Genesis chapter 12. And this world that Abram lived in is very different from our own. As explorers, you are going to be exploring a couple of things. You'll explore a new time period. This story of Abram took place 4,000 years ago. Think about how different the world must have been 4,000 years ago. You're going to be exploring a new part of the world. These stories took place in what's known as Mesopotamia, which is in the modern-day Middle East, particularly in the Iraq area. If you've never been there before, and certainly you've not been there 4,000 years ago, then you're going to have to explore a whole new region. The region in particular that Abram was from was the region of Samur, if you can see that there, and he was from the city of Ur, down at the bottom of the map. You'll be exploring a whole new culture. Every part of the world has different cultures, and Abram's culture was no different. If you're really going to immerse yourself in Abram's story, then you need to say, I'm up for an adventure, and I'm ready to explore these scriptures. Well, let's begin this process of exploration by looking at what life was like in Samur at the time that Abram lived. Samur has been called the cradle of civilization, and there's a reason for that. The reason is that archaeologists have said that the amount of technological advancement that took place in this region 4,000 years ago was unmatched until the 19th and 20th centuries in the amount of creativity and advancement of technology. I'll give you a couple of examples. One, the Sumerians are credited with inventing the first written language, the cuneiform tablets. This was before even Egyptian hieroglyphics existed. That's how ancient these written tablets were. Well, imagine for a second, since you're exploring a new culture, a new world, what would it be like to live in a culture where there was no written language? Everything was verbal, passed down orally. But then that all changed when you had your own language that you could write down. How revolutionary would that have been for your culture? A second shift that I want to share with you is that the Sumerians began to shift from a hunting and gathering culture to a more agrarian culture. Before them, most people were nomadic. They would follow the herds around. They were hunters and gatherers, but that began to change when this region shifted to a more agricultural society. This region created the plow. They began in technology to say, how can we develop the area we're living in? They began domesticating animals. No longer did they have to be on the move all the time. No, now they could create a sense of place. Finally, what I want to share with you is that the Sumerians invented irrigation. So before this time period, in the Middle East, if you needed water, well, you just needed to wait until it rained. But now, with irrigation, they began to harness the power of rivers to create canals and reservoirs where you could have water anytime you needed it. How would all of these technological advances change the society in which you lived? Well, this is where Abram was from. This was the world that he lived in. And how fitting is it that in the midst of all of this change and creativity, that this is the time period that God chose to speak? I find that absolutely fascinating. One more thing to let you know about this region. This region, religious-wise, was highly polytheistic, meaning that they believed in many gods. The idea of monotheism, the belief in just one god, was exceedingly rare. Archaeologists have dug up a lot of Samur, and they found these instruction manuals, instructions for how to farm, how to properly raise livestock, how to do irrigation, things like that. They wrote down these manuals in their new written language, but each manual was written in the name of a god. How fascinating is that? If you wanted it to rain, you would pray to the god of rain. If your livestock were ill, you would pray to the god of livestock. Yes, everything in their world, their society, was connected with a different god. This is what Abram at this point grew up in. He was immersed in this particular world. And it's in this world, without any introduction, that God chooses to speak to Abram. And here are the first words of the story. They just simply come out of nowhere in Genesis chapter 12. We are told, "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your people and your father's house to the land that I will show you.'" Put yourself in Abram's shoes just for a second. Abram had no prior knowledge of God. He's immersed in a culture, in a world where there were gods everywhere. But all of a sudden, he has an encounter with the real God. And this real God asks Abram to leave everything he's ever known, leave his country, leave his father's household, and go to, well, where? God doesn't exactly say. God says, "We're going to work out those details, but just go to a land that I am going to show you." What would you do if you were in Abram's position? Well, God's not done speaking yet, so you can't quite make a decision yet, because with this big ask that God makes, he then follows it up with four promises. And the promises, since that is what our series is titled, 40 Days of Promise, you know are going to be important. This is God's way of saying, if you do this, if you go to the land I'm showing you, if you leave everything behind, these are the promises I'm making to you. In verse 2, God says, "I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Let's take these one at a time. The first promise that God makes to Abram is God promises to make Abram into a great nation. Right now, Abram just has his immediate family, and he doesn't have any children. And so it's him and his wife, and then it's their servants and their livestock and the people who watch their herds. You know, that's kind of his family system. God is saying that I'm going to make you not even into a large family. I'm going to make you into a great nation. And not only that, God says, God will make his name great. And what that means is that God will make Abram's name well known. He is going to be famous in some respects. And we're still talking about him today, aren't we? Promise 3, I will bless those who bless you, and those who curse you, I will curse. The modern way of saying that is, I've got your back. God is going to support Abram and his people. He will be there for them. And then finally, the most important promise that God makes to Abram is promise number 4. In you, all the families on earth will be blessed. So let's again bring you into the story. If God came to you tonight and said, I want you to leave Denver, I want you to leave everything you've ever known and go to another land, a land that I've not told you exactly where yet, but just know it's a distant land. It's far away from here. I want you to follow me to that land. What would you do? What would you say? What would be going through your mind? In the next verse, we are told, Abram went. These are two of the most powerful words in the Bible, because Abram's act of faith changes the course of human history. Here's why I say that. This happens in Genesis chapter 12. Think about what has happened previously in the Bible. The Genesis chapters 1 through 3, you've got Adam and Eve's rebellion, right? They are declaring their independence away from God. In Genesis chapter 4, you've got the consequences of that rebellion in their family system. when Cain kills his brother Abel. Things get so bad in chapters 6 through 9 in the story of Noah that God floods the entire earth and seeks to start over. When you get to chapter 11 in Genesis, the people, out of their own pride, build a tower, the Tower of Babel, because they want to reach as high as God. Story after story in the beginning chapters of Genesis show the downward trajectory of humanity. And then all of a sudden, in chapter 12 of Genesis, you have a profound moment of obedience to God. Leave your country, your people, your father's house, and go to an unknown place with an unknown God as your guide. The forming of God's people begins with a single command to go. And Abram went. Abram was 75 years old when he embarked on this journey. Which means if you are 75 years old, God is not done with you yet. But there's a problem. Nothing happens immediately. Abram goes. He's obedient to God. He takes his family. He begins a journey. But then nothing happens. Abram's wife does not become pregnant. This great nation that God promises does not come to fruition. And this tremendous act of faith is followed by a whispering of doubt. When you get to Genesis chapter 15, Abram talks to God, and Abram says, God, what good are your promises? For I continue to be childless. I wonder, how is God going to respond to Abram's questioning? Have you wondered that before in your own life? How will God respond to my questions? If I have doubts, how will God respond to me? Will God accept those? Will God kind of be mad at that? What does God do with my questions? Well, we see here that God responds to Abram's questions with compassion. Our ancient text tells us that God took Abram outside. I imagine it's like a father talking to a son, saying, hey, let's go out in the backyard and have a chat. Yes, God took Abram outside. If you went outside your house tonight, and if you looked up at the sky, what would you see? Well, chances are you'd have your neighbors' kind of houses around you, and you'd probably have street lights kind of blocking some of the sky, and maybe you'd hear cars driving by, and perhaps your neighbor's TV. You know, maybe these are some of the sights and sounds of things you would see if you went outside tonight. We are exploring a different world. So think about what Abram would have seen 4,000 years ago. People who lived in this time period would walk outside, and the first thing that would draw their attention was the sky. There was no pollution to block what they were seeing up in the sky to make it harder to see the stars. There were no lights. There was no electricity to lessen the clarity of the stars. There were no skyscrapers to block your view of the stars. No, you would look up at the sky and it would seem limitless. Our text says God brought Abram outside and said, look up towards the sky and count the stars if you are able to count them. Then he said, so shall your descendants be. God promises Abram, in the midst of his doubt and his questioning whether God will actually come through for him and fulfill his promises, God says, look up at the stars. That's how many descendants you are going to have. See if you can count them, because that is how great a nation you will eventually be. It seems like an impossible task, doesn't it? For God to tell Abram, look up and count all of the stars. If I asked you to do that and said, go and count the stars, what would happen? Well, you'd probably start, and you'd have to kind of squint, and you'd be seeing all the stars, but eventually what would happen is that you would give up. All of us would. But you would be left with an impression. And the impression you would be left with is just how small we are in the midst of this big, beautiful universe that we live in. What God is teaching Abram is that by counting the stars, Abram cannot fathom the immensity of God. And we are told that Abram believed the Lord. I want to do a little visual aid for you now. As we are explorers, as we are doing our best to put ourselves in the story, let's see if this works. Four thousand years ago, God took an ordinary person just like you or me and looked out under the same night sky that you look out each and every night. And God said, look up. Look up at the immensity of the galaxy. See if you can count each and every star. And know that you can trust in my promises. Know that there's no way that you can count all this, but that I have created all of this, and the same God who made the stars has made promises to Abram. Abram does not know the end of the story. Abram does not know where his story ends. He's just at the beginning of it. But he is choosing to trust. It says Abram believed the Lord. So as you go and look up at the night sky, as you do the best you can to count the stars, well, I want you to realize that the same God that made the promises to Abram is in your life as well. The same God who started a relationship with Abram is seeking a relationship with you. The stars should be your reminder of how big a God we worship. And how small we are in comparison. There's a lot that we can study in this story as we gaze up at the galaxy. But the thing that I keep coming back to is when in doubt, look up. When you are having a challenge in your life and you are not sure what to do or how to respond, simply look up at the night sky and realize, hey, God is there. God is here for me. And I, like Abram, can trust in this God. Yes, when you are saying, I'm not quite sure where my story leads or how I can get through these problems or challenges that I'm currently facing, well, when in doubt, look up. Find the night sky and remind yourself of Abram's story. Because Abram chose to allow God to be bigger than his problems and to be the guide of his life. When you simply do not know where to turn in your own life, when in doubt, look up and realize that the same God who began this story with Abram continues this story with each and every one of us. Yes, when in doubt, look up.
If you would like more information about Unity Presbyterian Church, please visit our website at www.unitypres.org or visit us on Facebook. This is the Unity Presbyterian Church Podcast. Have a great week.